Matthew 24, verses 10 to 12. This is our Lord speaking to the disciples about the end times. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, and thank you for your word, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit to understand it. Lord, the Bible, which was so difficult for us before, Lord, to bring out its truths. Lord, we pray that you would help us through your word to sanctify us and to cause us to love you more and to gain more knowledge. Lord, we thank you for the blessing that we have of knowing the future through your revelation, Lord, that we can see the times that we're in and be assured that you are working all things for good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we'll look at some scriptures on impulsive anger. And I wanted to preach on this topic because it has more relevance today in this our time, in the last days, and perhaps ever. And this is not only evident in the culture we live in, but Scripture plainly states that we can expect people in the world to become more and more angry, more easily stirred to wrath, as the evil in the world boils over approaching Christ's return. The Lord Jesus spoke about this to the apostles in the Scriptures we just read. And of course, by extension, he's speaking to the church. Let's look again at our opening verses. So that was Matthew 24, if you've lost them again like I have. 10 to 12. Verse 10, many shall be offended. And it's a combination of factors, right, that's accompanying this offense. There's false prophets, people being deceived, and iniquity growing, more and more evil in the world, abundant sin. This all culminates in love and hate, lovelessness and hatred. So anger will be abundant in the last days. Where is this offense that the Lord is speaking of? What is its origins? We'll look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. So the Lord, of course, in this context, was speaking about the apostasy, so in the church, but it also applies to the world at large. Verse 9 of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. It's important at this point to mention that no believer, no born-again person is ever referred to as a fool in Scripture. This word is only ever used to describe unbelievers. Now, turn with me, please, to Psalm chapter 14, verses 1 to 2. We'll see a description of a fool in these verses. Psalm 14, 1 to 2. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Here we see that corruption, iniquity, are part and parcel to unbelief, an indifference to God, and a care for things of this world instead of the things of heaven. As the rich man in the parable also showed when he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? The offense the world will experience is, of course, indignation at the gospel of Jesus Christ, at the word God has spoken to every person. No one will have an excuse. Every person has had the opportunity to follow the light that God has provided them. John 1:9. So all who die in unbelief have made a conscious decision to reject the self-evident existence of God, as proclaimed by their conscience and creation. And as the gospel reaches to the ends of the earth, more will hear, and yet more will turn away. Our next scripture is 2 Timothy verses 3:1-3. So it's a continuing frustration that people are feeling, a hopelessness because the rejection of God is growing stronger and stronger. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1-3. This is describing men in the last days. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. The ones that I want to focus on tonight are incontinent, fierce, and despiser of those that are good. Of course, incontinent isn't referring to their bowels. Of course, it's meaning that they aren't able to control themselves. They have no self-control, especially of their emotions. They're fierce. They can't hold back their anger. And despisers of those that are good is referring to the hatred towards Christians, true Christianity, because of the conviction that we bring upon their lives. The Pharisees that harassed Christ's ministry were characterized by unbelief, a stubborn, blind unbelief, and they were always offended. Every time we read of the Pharisees, a very deep, bitter offense towards the gospel. It wasn't that they were simply dismissive of Christ's claims, they were enraged by them. They were constantly picking up stones in preparation to kill him. The only reason you can suppose most Christians today aren't causing the same kind of offense is not because men are more genial. They are not. Men have not changed. Nor is the true gospel any less offensive to people. But these days, the only difference is that it is being preached less fully, perhaps, and less faithfully by many. Yet it is still being preached by the Lord's church, and the offense it causes is spreading. The offense is not exclusive to the secular world either. The professing church is full of people who are deceiving and being deceived. And the true gospel of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the payment of sin for all who repent and believe, this gospel is offensive to those people, to those apostates. We must be wary of our anger. It reveals the state of our heart. If the gospel offends, if a person objects to any of its points, they have fallen to deception. James 1:19-20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It is not good to be hot-tempered or to hold on to anger. The first reason for this is it's unthankful. The scripture we read earlier in 2 Timothy listed unthankfulness as one of the end-time attributes found within the wicked. Our next scripture is Romans 1, chapter verse 21. I'll just turn there quickly for time's sake. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Just as Huey was saying earlier, God is very good to everyone. His common grace abounds, and yet people can still choose to be ungrateful towards this benevolent God. The knowledge of God ought to produce thankfulness. He is our loving Creator who gives us richly all things to enjoy. The second reason, impulsive anger is not something a Christian should practice, is that it fails to acknowledge God's sovereign justice. As we've seen in previous messages, I've preached on God's promise of retribution, and this should help us keep our peace. God will settle all accounts in the end. A believer has been spared the wrath of coming judgment because of God's mercy. He expects us to display that same forgiveness, that same long-suffering towards others. And lastly, the third reason why impulsive anger is not Christian is because It is an unhappy existence when one is quickly offended and brought to sudden anger. That mode of being doesn't reflect the joy we're supposed to live out in our lives. The anger, the quick offense that people take is obvious everywhere. Everyone is a victim of someone else. The culture wars, for example, is all about victimhood. And in the world, this is how so many evil agendas are being advanced. Advocates for homosexual marriage treated any opposition as persecution. We live now in a time, in a political climate, where expressing an alternative opinion is tantamount to violence. And everyone feels the burden of this. It is a situation described in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 5. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. Rather, the Christian should be content in whatever circumstance. We have no rights in this world. We should expect no mercy from people. And therefore, we should do our best to keep our peace and remember that God is in control. Our time here should be spent looking ahead to the day Jesus returns. We'll close in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 to 5. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the peace, Lord, that comes into our hearts when